Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're talking about relating to others, the relationships that God wants us to have in our life. And they are vital and they are important. Heard somebody make this statement, and I believe it to be true, that the quality of your life, once you know Jesus, quality of your life is going to be largely determined by the quality of the relationships that you have on planet Earth. And God wants them to be right. And He wants them to give us life. But if that's going to happen, we have to do it His way. And the bottom line, folks, is that life works when we do it God's way. When we deviate from His way, it doesn't work. And there's pain and there's hurt. And so we want to discover His way, and then we want to follow and live from that way. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And so we've noticed that when God created us in His image, that He gave us He wired us in a certain way, and He gave us the ability to have beliefs and thoughts, emotions, and to act. Those things belong to us. And so when we relate to one another, we need to realize those things belong to me. They don't belong to you. And your emotions, your thoughts, they belong to you. And so we take responsibility for our life. We have a responsibility towards one another, but we take responsibility for us. And in our relationships, when those two little prepositions get moved around, life gets really weird. All right. When I feel like I have a responsibility for you, or you have a responsibility for me, then all kinds of dysfunction begins to happen. And so we've seen that God's plan is for us, as we relate to one another, is we open up our heart to the good and the love and the grace and the wisdom and all the things that God has put in His body. We open up our heart and we receive the good. But we also have to realize that not everyone is good or does good. And so we have to guard our heart and protect our heart and our life from those that would not have good. Okay? And last week we saw that when this goes wrong, things get weird. All right. And so we open up our heart by saying yes. We say no to evil or bad by saying no. Okay. And some folks, they say yes to everything. All right. They just open up to the bad that other people bring into their life. Some people live their life with a closed heart. They never reach out and they live an isolated life. All right. On the other hand, there are people that they either choose not to or don't listen. They never hear the no of someone else, either through pressure or through manipulation. They want to get their way at all costs, and they're controllers. Other people are non-responders. And so God put love and grace on the inside of them. And even people that are broken and hurting and carrying boulders in their life, they are self-consumed and they never reach out to minister the love of Jesus to other people. All right. So we take responsibility for our heart and for our life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And this is such a wonderful passage, all right? And it's the love chapter. And it is the chapter where we are able to hear described God's love. This love is typically not sung about on the radio, all right? You don't hear about this love on Channel O. It is a self-serving love. It is a selfish love. It's a love that changes. Okay. The agape love of God is what has been given to us. Romans 5:5 says this love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So when we got born again, we received a deposit of divine love. So we can love this way. All right. Now, so obviously 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about how we relate to one another, this love that we share towards one another. And in Paul's writing, And he's making some summary statements at the end. And in verse 11, he said this. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. All right. Now, up to this point in the verse, okay, that's not a huge revelation, right? When I was a child, I acted like a child. I thought, I spoke, I reasoned as a child. All right. But he said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so these childish things, New Living Translation says, the way we think and the way we reason. All right. And so, you know, this is Mother's Day. And those of you that ever raised babies or little kids, you know how awesome it is to have little kids. I mean, they are cute. They're funny. And I think part of the reason why God made them cute and funny is so that we don't kill them as parents. All right. Because they're also very frustrating. All right. They drop stuff. They make a mess. They stink. They can do nothing for the family. Right. Other than just kind of entertain. Right. I mean, today was Mother's Day. Big shout out to my daughter, Jessica. She made her mom French toast. Tiramisu French toast in bed. Yeah. And so, but when she was 2 years old, she couldn't do that. She just consumed. All right. And so, but as we grow, we now are more useful to the world. All right. We are able to bless the world. All right. We're able to do things that make a difference. But part of that means is that we have to put aside childish things. Childish ways, okay? And but here's the challenge. Our life and perhaps the way we grew up or the way life developed us, okay? We may have gotten older in age, but some folks haven't yet put away childish things, especially in the way that we relate to one another. All right. And this is what, in the context of this verse, this is what Paul's talking about. All right. 1 Corinthians 13 is about love. It's about our relationships. And so Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay. And one of the things, one of the chief characteristics of a child is that they are not responsible for their life. They cannot feed themselves. All right. When an infant baby is born, they are utterly helpless. I mean, they are helpless. They can do nothing other than cry. And when they cry, things happen. Food happens. A warm bed happens. Comfort happens. But it has to come from the outside. It has to come from someone else. All right. And gradually, year by year by year by year, that child discovers I can do things for myself. All right. The day that our children discovered this was back in the days before DVDs. And for you young people, there was a day before DVDs. There were these things called videotapes, and you put them in and they anyway, you can read about them on the Internet. Okay. So, but the day that our children learned to put in their own videotapes and watched cartoons or Barney or whatever that was, for my wife and I, it bought us an extra 30 minutes of sleep because they could entertain themselves. We didn't have to be the entertainment of their life. The day that they made their own breakfast. Oh, what a happy day that was. All right. So they learned to take care of themselves, okay? Little by little by little. And the day that they earn their own money, what a day that will be. Hallelujah. Okay, so, but that happens gradually. It happens over time to where a child becomes an adult, a boy becomes a man, and now they are responsible for their own life. They're responsible. That is the chief characteristic of being an adult, is I am responsible. Okay? That's why our prisons aren't filled with 12-year-olds. All right? When a 12-year-old gets in trouble, what do you, you go talk to the parents. We've got a problem here. Okay? Miracle Life, we had some folks coming from the outside, little kids stealing and stuff. We engaged the parents. Okay? If they were 35, we would not have engaged the parents. We would have said, Zambia police, we engage you. God bless you. Let me meet you. You can introduce yourself to one another and we'd be done. Okay? So, we become responsible. All right? Now, problem is, sometimes when we grew up, all right, God's goal was for us to grow up. God's goal was for us to take maturity and responsibility and to trust Him. Sometimes there were people in our life that did not want that process to happen, or they didn't help that process to happen. Maybe, or sometimes there were people that were just not around to help that process to happen. All right. But the fact is, no matter what happened to us in life, today, we can take responsibility for our life. And like I said, my wife and I, we at our house, we got a loan to finish our house. And just the other day, I got the title deed back. The loan, the bank has no hold on it. All right. And one day, Miracle Life, we're going to get our title deed back. Right. But some of you are 30, 40, 50. You need to get the title deed of your life back. You need to take responsibility for your life, for what God gave you, the beliefs, the emotions, the actions of your life. And we're going to talk about that today. All right. So sometimes, again, there just weren't people at home. And one of the great tragedies right now in our nation, and you know the statistics, is that we have over 1 million orphans in the nation of Zambia. And what that means is that as these little kids are growing up, there is going to be probably some level of deficit unless there is an intervention from God or godly people to help them to grow and to become all that God wants them to be. Okay? So God wants us to grow. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Okay? And what I want to see, I want you to see from the life of Jesus how this happened in his life. The Bible says that he grew in wisdom and stature with God and man. And there was a growth process that happened in his life. But here was kind of a peek into that. And we really don't have too many peeks into the growing up process of Jesus. But here is one. All right. Luke 2:41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old. Okay, think right now. Think of someone that you know that's 12 years old. Okay. 12-year-olds in Miracle Life, they're here. They're behind it in Children's Church, okay? He was 12 years old. They went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him, I won't make any commentary about their parenting there, all right? But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, all right, so they'd gone a day, they didn't find him, so now they've got to travel back another day, back to Jerusalem. And so it was after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, remember this is 12-year-old Jesus. He said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. I like this from the Message Bible. It says, when they found Jesus, verse 48, it says, his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." I've said that before. And he said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my Father. Now, one of the things that God did when Jesus came to the earth is supernaturally through angelic visitation, God communicated both to Joseph and to Mary that your son is not going to be ordinary. He is special, and there is a special deal on his life. He is the Messiah. All right? And so they were aware, obviously. I mean, Mary was pregnant. They had never slept together. But they, as Jesus grew up, all right, they were still acting as his parents, but they realized that there's a special destiny on Jesus. Now, for all of us in this room, whether you're grown, you're an adult, or whether you're a child or you're raising kids, but every single person on planet Earth has a destiny. And that destiny comes from the Creator. It comes from God. Because the Bible says that when we all die, we will stand before our Creator and we will give an account, all right, of what we did in our body. Okay, now that's not how we get into heaven. We're saved by grace. We're saved by the work of Jesus. But what we do, and God will look at the plan that he had for our life and what we did with our life, and he will see, how did you handle your life? All right, and the Bible says there will be rewards that will be given. All right, and here's the thing, and I know this is Mother's Day. Mama won't be there on that day. Daddy won't be there on that day. It's you and the head of the church. It's you and the one whose blood has cleansed you, Jesus Christ. All right? And so Jesus was becoming aware of his destiny. And he was now taking action about his destiny. Right? Even at age 12, he was learning about God. He was learning about Scripture. He was getting ready for the destiny that was on his life. All right? Now, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. All right. So it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, some parents in some homes, and even in Christian homes, they don't read that verse that way. They read it this way. Train up your child in the way I want them to go as mom and dad. And then when they get old, they'll keep doing what mom and dad wants them to do. You see, we train, families are to prepare us for God's plan and purpose for our life. Do you see that? All right? And what we have to realize is that there are times where God's plan and purpose is different than family plan and purpose. You're going to stay here in Lusaka and take care of me. Okay. Well, can I pray about that? You're going to marry someone from this part of the country, from this tribe that looks like this. Oh, really? Can I have chapter and verse for that? You're going to marry someone that has a certain degree. You're going to go to this school. You're going to be one of these four professions. Doctor, lawyer, accountant, engineer. The big four. It's a good four. No problem with that four. All right. Train up a child in the way he should go, God's plan and God's purpose for their life. It was very, very sad, a person that I dealt with. And this person, the was a young man, and his family, he had an opportunity to go to Canada. And there was schooling there, and there was going to be a job there and everything. So the family, his brothers and sisters, I believe they were all orphans, and brothers and sisters sold stuff and did all these things to get him to Canada. Well, it didn't work out in Canada, and things didn't happen. And so when he came back, his brothers and sisters were very upset, not because he wasn't fulfilling his God-given destiny, but because now he wasn't in Canada earning Canadian dollars to send back to them. You see, they were not interested in helping him reach his destiny. They were interested in having a Forex ATM machine in Montreal or Toronto. Train up a child in the way he should go. Parenting is supposed to be the most unselfish thing we do in life. Train them up. Get them ready. Let them fly. And let them fly higher than you. Let them go beyond anything that you could have ever dreamed of. Because they don't have to have gone through all the sin and the dysfunction that you've had to get redeemed. You've given them a head start on the craziness that you grew up in. Amen? And then your grandkids, boy, then they're really going to hit the target. Amen? All right? So our goal is to give, in our families, is to give people the tools to help them follow God. Turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. See, when you're little, you are to model godly behavior from your mom and dad. You watch them and you see how they do it. But eventually it has to become yours. The technical word for that is called internalization. Okay? When we traveled a lot growing up, going to churches, itinerated, so we traveled a lot. All right? And so our kids ate in a lot of restaurants. And I remember one time we were at a restaurant, our kids were teeny, and the waitress comes and says, well, what do you all want to drink? And the waitress got to my son, he was just a little kid, and he said, Dad, what are you having? I said, I'm having a Coke. He said, I'll have what he's having. He doesn't do that today. It's his choice. Okay? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law. So listen, this is a parental thing going on right here, this text. My son, do not forget my law, but keep your heart, let your heart keep my commandments. All right, and this is talking about the law of God. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the table of your heart. Now, who does this? The son. Write these. Bind them. Verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord. Now, who's doing the trusting? The son. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he, God, will direct your steps. You trust. You follow the word of God. You listen to him. You seek him. Don't lean to your mind. And he will direct your steps. Where's dad now? He's taken a step back. It's now God and the Bible and the things of God that are directing Junior. Do you see that? Do you see that? All right. He will direct your path. Okay? And so this now happens from God to the adult. All right? And as I was preparing this, I just realized, and I was looking at that Rhema video, the mandate that God gave Kenneth Hagin was this: go teach my people faith. Go teach my people faith. And when you look at the Gospels, what did Jesus say over and over again to people? According to your faith, be it unto you. Part of the mandate that's on Miracle Life, folks, is for us to grow up and trust God ourselves. You don't need the prophet's holy water. You don't need the prophetess to decide where you're going to work or how to raise your kids. You don't need the archapostle to go get your destiny for you. No, 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 no. Learn the word of God. Get it into your heart. Seek him with all your heart. And he will direct your steps, Miracle Life. He will direct your steps, Miracle Life. And you can make it. And you can do it. Amen. Ed Cole, wonderful man. He's in heaven today, but was really the father of the Christian men's movement. He put it this way. He says, maturity does not come by age. It comes through the acceptance of responsibility. Maturity does not come by age. It comes through the acceptance of responsibility. It is unfortunate today that sometimes we consider people mature by other ways. Oh, you have a job. I guess you're mature. You're married. And now I can't call you Sally anymore. I have to call you Mrs. Smith. Now you're mature. I'm sorry to tell you, but there are immature people that get married and marriage does not make them mature. It just brings out their childishness. And it makes it more disgusting. Because now it affects their wife and their kids and their husband. Children driving BMWs. So you can be a mature single. You can be a mature college student. Now, maybe you don't have a lot of money in the bank, and maybe you're not flying to Dubai every weekend, but you've accepted responsibility for your life. You've sought the Lord. The Word of God is in your heart. And Lord, you are directing my path. That's called being a grown-up. That's saying, here's the thing. Relationships on planet Earth, other than with little kids, relationships only work adult to adult. It's the only way relationships work. Is when both parties are responsible. When both parties are acting as grown-ups. Okay? Now, how many of you, have you ever had this thought that, you know, in the New Testament, the Bible says that we are grafted in. All right. In fact, the Bible says in the New Testament that we are actually what are referred to as true Jews. All right. We are in the family of God. And there are, and I grew up with certain folks and Jewish people that they were Jewish by culture, but not really by religion. Okay. And they really didn't necessarily, they weren't real religious, but they were still Jewish. All right. Have you ever made this note? Have you ever thought that most Jewish people are more successful than most Christian people? Have you ever thought of that? All right. Steven Spielberg, ever heard of him? Makes pretty good movies, Jewish. And all the people that have really shaped the world in very positive ways. When we lived in Johannesburg, when we lived there, Jessica was given birth to by a Jewish doctor. Pretty much in Joburg, if you want a good doctor, make sure they're Jewish. God bless the other ones, but if you want a really good doctor, get a Jewish doctor, you know. You think, well, why is it just this residual Abraham blessing? Is that it? Because wait a second, if we're Christians, we are the children of Abraham. We are, his blessings have been made ours, right? Or is there another factor, all right? And some of you might be familiar with the bar mitzvah that Jewish people go through, all right? At age 13, a young Jewish person is considered an adult by Jewish society. And then they have a party. There's something that happens at the synagogue, and then there's something. Then they go to a hotel. They have a big party. But I always just thought, okay, that's interesting. So at 13, you know, you have this party, kind of like, some places, the 21 birthday is a real big thing, and so the fathers teach them how to get drunk, and wow, that's awesome. What a great party that is, really helping them to be a mature man from now on out. But I always thought, okay, well, what's the deal about this 13th thing in Jewish society? Well, what happens is it's more than a party. Okay. What has happened up to the age of 13 is that bar mitzvah, that young person is being taught the Torah. All right. And not just like Sunday school, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. They learn the Bible. They learn the Jewish Bible. All right. And so at age 13, there's a ceremony and the Torah that the grandfather has the Torah and he hands it to the father. And the father hands it to the 13-year-old. And now, at age 13, I am no longer responsible to my dad. I'm responsible to God. I've been taught the Word of God, and now this becomes the authority in my life. And they are seen and treated as responsible people because they've been taught. And they end up being doctors, bankers, and running the world. And then in the body of Christ, we wonder why we aren't getting anywhere. It's because a lot of what we do is not linked to this book. And a lot of the ways that we treat people and each other is not linked to this book. Jesus said this. He said, you have made the word of God of no effect based on your traditions that you learned from your fathers. Now, you say, Pastor, you're picking on me. No, let's talk about me. When I was 16 years old, I bumped into my destiny. I didn't mean to. I didn't get the plane ticket on Destiny Airlines. I was in church. I was backslidden. And just a few months later, after giving my heart to the Lord, and I was a real punk. I mean, if I was a kid in this church, I was that ornery kid and that messed up kid. Anyway, I gave my heart to the Lord. There were some missionaries that came to our church, and they were doing conferences in East Africa, Uganda and Kenya. And for whatever reason, I can't even remember what reason, I just thought, I'm going to go. I didn't even know where Kenya was. I didn't know that Kenyans were really good at the marathon and the steeplechase and the Olympics. I obviously it was the Lord, but I just said, I think I'm going to go do that. And so I raised the money. God brought the money in. Didn't get it from mom and dad. Got the plane ticket, went on British Airways. And when we landed in Nairobi, Kenya, and that would have been 1984, my life changed forever. And within a period of days, God called me into the ministry, called me to the nation, called me to the continent of Africa, and set my life on a course within days. There was a destiny that I didn't know that I realized, wow. This is what God wants for my life. And so I came back. And so now I had one more year left of high school. And so I wanted to prepare for my destiny. And so where can I go to prepare that will help me get to my destiny, to do what God wants for my life? And I heard about a university and it was Oral Roberts University, and God commissioned Oral Roberts. He said, build me a university, founded on the Holy Spirit, and raise up your students to hear my voice, to go where my light is dim, where my voice is not heard, and where my power is not known. And their work will exceed yours, and in that I'm well pleased. And when Billy Graham opened that university in 1967, he said, let there be a curse on this university if ever it leaves its founding purpose. And so I went there to train for my destiny. Now, little did I know that I would meet this blue-eyed fashion model and our destinies would come together. And God had a destiny for her, and God had already called her to the nations. And so our destinies came together, and I'm very glad for that destiny. Amen. So, but going there, got my heart prepared, realized, you know what, it's going to be kind of pulpit type of ministry that needs to take place. And I thought, what's the best place in the whole wide world to prepare for pulpit ministry? Rhema Bible Training Center, just across the other side of town. And to sit under the ministry and be trained by Kenneth Hagin and people that he had trained. All right. And that became part of our destiny. All right. And all the links and the people that I have met from there, and Ed and Lori Elliott and all the different people that had a path to our destiny together. But a funny thing happened on the way to my destiny is that there were family members who didn't think that destiny was what they wanted for someone in their family. And so my grandfather, who was an accountant and a real, just a very honorable man, very fair man, and it had started a business, and his kids had followed in his footsteps. And, you know, my grandfather had gone to Harvard, and my uncle had gone to Harvard, and Harvard MBA, all right? And so when he heard I was going to Oral Roberts University, that's the guy on TV that puts his hand out and says, heal, you know? That was not the destiny that he felt people in his family should follow, all right? And so he wrote a letter to my dad, and my dad shared that letter with me. And I'll never forget this part of the letter was, if you do this, this will embarrass you for the rest of your life. And looking back, what he meant to say was, this will embarrass me for the rest of my life. Because it's never once embarrassed me. Not one time, not one single time has there ever been a hint of embarrassment for me. All right. You see, Jesus' parents, remember, Jesus, what are you doing? What is this? You're in the temple. And Jesus appeals to what God has asked me to do. My Father's, whose Father? Capital F, Father. And the goal of every family is to transfer from small F Father to capital F Father, the Heavenly Father, and to let Him be your guide, and to let this book be the wisdom and the counsel. So that was tough, and that decision was tough, but thank God He gave me enough fortitude and grace to be able to stick with what God gave me. Then, carrying on. So now, I really, really love this girl named Haley, and I want to spend the rest of my life with her. Like, forever. And so, Then there was other family people. No, you don't marry that one. Oh, really? Is that your decision? No, I have to approve that decision. I'm the Holy Spirit of your life. Really? Oh, and through much prayer and fasting and whatever, you know, I finally realized, wait, I think this is my decision. Remember what God said in the garden? For this reason, what reason? Marriage. For this reason, a man will leave father and mother. It doesn't say hate father and mother. It doesn't say despise them and send nasty notes to them. It says leave father and mother and be joined to his wife. There is a leaving. And the reason why it says the man leaves father and mother is because it is very hard for mother and father to let him go. So the man needs to have a little bit of leave on the inside of him. To say, I am leaving. Thanks for everything. I'm leaving. And one of the greatest problems in marriage is when the man leaves but doesn't leave. Mama, are you okay, mama? No, you are a one-woman man. And that one woman is called wife, not mama. I'm sorry that this is coming out on Mother's Day, all right? But I guess it can be appropriately applied, right? But see, mama and dad, our heart and our goal is to let them go. Teach them the word of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, kids. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean to your understanding. And He will direct your path. He will direct your path. So, go to the wrong school for the family. Marry the wrong girl for the family. Now, family, guess what? We have very little money and we're going to South Africa. Oh, yes, that South Africa. The South Africa in 1992 and 93 where bombs are going off. That's on CNN where the crime rate is high. And it really, really is that high. Yeah. What are they going to pay you? Nothing. We're raising our own money to go work for people for free. That's our career choice. Oh, yeah, that makes you real popular. Huh? And he will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. Amen. And now my family loves it here. My mother-in-law's here. She can't leave Zambia. She loves Zambia so much. She's getting on a bus next week to go to Chapata all by herself to go. She just loves Zambia. Hallelujah. Follow God. Follow His Word. Grow up and relate to one another as an adult. Let's look at two passages here of something else that happened to Jesus. John chapter 2. I'll give you the quick version. There was a wedding. They ran out of wine. We'll pick it up in verse 3. Mary, the mother of Jesus, they have no wine. Verse 4, Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Message Bible puts it this way. Jesus said, "Is that any of our business, mother? Yours or mine? This isn't my time. Don't push me." Did Jesus make it to the cross without sin? Did he sin in verse 4? Nope. He didn't. He just said, "Mom, this is my call." And I do like what Mary said then. All right. Verse 5. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says, do it." Not what I say or even what I say he's going to say. She then said, "Okay, Jesus, whatever you say, do it." And he did it. All right. But he let her know, "This, Mom, I'm going to do this. All right. This is my choice." Matthew chapter 12. Jesus was in the middle of a sermon. All right. Verse 45 is in red. Okay. There's a discourse that he's preaching. Verse 46, Matthew 12. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. All right, just picture it right now. All right, so Jesus is preaching a sermon. The usher comes up on stage. "Thank you. Your mother and your brothers are outside. They want to see you." Okay. And then someone said, "Look, your mother and brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Do you see this? See, being an adult means, like that little boy at the bar mitzvah at age 13, the word of God is handed to me. And I am responsible to the God who made me. I am responsible to the God who gave me His word. And it is up to me to follow this word and to live this word. Amen? Amen. Now, was Jesus a bad kid? No. Was Jesus a bad son? No. In fact, at the cross, he saw his mother there and his best friend, John, only guy that made it to the cross, John. And he saw that loyalty and he saw that connectedness and he said, "Mother, here is your son. Son, behold your mother." Before he died, he made sure his mother was going to be looked after. And, he gave Peter the church. He gave John his mother. All right. You know, Peter used swords and talked a lot. John was the apostle of love. And he wanted to make sure his mother was going to be loved. Right? Okay. So, but Jesus had to realize that I have a destiny before God. Amen. Now, please hear me out. Did Jesus live a selfish life? Did Jesus live an isolated life? No. Jesus was constantly with people. Jesus was constantly giving and serving and loving to the point where he said, you know, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Being an adult is not a call to a selfish life. It's a call to a selfless life. But see, now it's your time. It's your money. It's your decision. It's your emotions. Answer to God. Grow them, develop them, so that you can be a greater blessing to the people God has connected to you. A greater blessing to your family. Amen? But when Jesus becomes our Savior, He becomes our Lord. And that means we are answerable to Him. Amen? So as grown-ups, or if you're a young person and you are growing up, take responsibility. Take responsibility and accept that responsibility before God. This is one of the reasons, at least at Miracle Life, you know, we have children's ministry, we have youth ministry. And at age 19 at Miracle Life, you're not a youth. You don't get to be in youth ministry when you're 20 years old. We have Merge, and that's for singles, okay? And I'm not a big fan of people who are 31 years old being referred to as a youth. Do you know that Jesus Christ, your Messiah, was 29 years old when he started his ministry? And he was done at age 32 and he was single? And in some churches in this nation, he'd be in the youth group. Yeah, he'd go to the youth conference. No, he's the Savior of the world. He's the King of Kings at age 29. I'm excited. You don't have to be excited. Amen. Amen. Why? Because he was capable. He was ready. Amen. And so I want to ask each and every one of you, and really, this is not for your uncle. This is not for your grandmother. This is for you. And here's the question I want to ask you today. What childish things have you maintained in your life? Do you expect other people to make you happy? Do you expect other people to provide for you financially? Do you expect other people to get you a job or a wife or to go get wisdom for you? Do you expect other people to go get the spiritual blessings of God in their magical sleigh and bring them like Santa Claus to your doorstep? What childish ways have you still embraced? And listen, the preacher who's preaching is preaching to himself. And there are residual childish things that I've got to get rid of. That I've got to say, Walker, grow up. Walker, accept responsibility for this. Walker, this is your job. Amen? That job doesn't belong to somebody else. God gave it to you. God gave it to you. Amen? Bow your head with me. Bow your head with me. Father, Lord, I thank you that your word is there for our good. It is there to develop us. It is there to give us an inheritance. And Father, I ask you right now in Jesus' name, Father, wherever we are in life and whatever situation we have grown up in, Father, Lord, there's so many different situations represented in this room, but you are the same and your word is the same and you are a good God. And Father, I ask you right now to help us to be aware by the power of the Holy Spirit, where do we need to accept responsibility? Where have we abdicated, given up? We've allowed someone else to take a part of our heart, part of what you've given us. And we've been irresponsible. We've been lazy. We haven't accepted what you gave us. And Father, I know it could have happened through a variety of ways. And sometimes it seems like, in a sense, it wasn't our fault sometimes. And it might have not been. But still, what are we going to do now? We're going to trust you. Father, we're reminded of that woman with the issue of blood. Father, for all those years, she did everything that she knew. But when she heard of Jesus, she decided, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Father, I thank you for making us whole in every area of our life. And Father, it will happen as we decide to trust you, as we decide to accept your word for ourselves and for our life. Father, I thank you for mercy, for mess ups, and grace and empowerment for the future. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just feel the Holy Spirit just telling some of you, there is grace for you. There is grace for you. And maybe your background and some things that happened to you, it really injured some stuff. And it really bumped some things around in your life. And there was some real disappointment. And maybe even right now in your life. But the Bible says, his grace is sufficient. Where sin abounds, so much more does the grace of God abound. That grace is his ability to help you, his ability to empower you, to change you, to put you on a different course. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for healing and for restoration. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, show us where we need to show up, where our presence and our responsibility is needed in our life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. For some of you in this room, there are people in your life that have really accentuated temptation. They are a temptation, or it's the wrong crowd, and you need to say no. You need to say no to those people that are encouraging you to sin and even helping you to sin. You need to close that door. But Pastor, what will they think? Oh, Pastor, but it's going to hurt her feelings. She can deal with that. You need to take responsibility and stop playing around. Lot stayed in a very wicked place and didn't stand up. And the Bible says it vexed his righteous soul. And you're vexing your righteous soul because of the people that you've allowed to be close in your life. And you need to close the door. Some of you in this building right now, you need new friends. You need people that are going to help you hear from God, that are going to help you seek God, because they are. And they're going to help you do it. Whatever you think they are offering you is not going to help you. It's not going to help you. You need new friends. You need people that know the Lord, that seek the Lord. If you need help finding them, we can help you find them. But you need to close the door to some people that have really, really influenced you to go down a wrong path. Some of you in this building, you need to do it today. You need to send the text. When that person says, come on over tonight. No, I'm not coming over anymore. I'm closing the door to you in my life. Oh, but they have money. You don't need money. You need God. You need his favor. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask you right now, give these folks the courage and the boldness, Father, to stand for you and your word, Father. Let them be able to stand like Jesus and know their destiny. And there's some people that are going to help them in their destiny, and there's some people that are going to hinder them. Father, and give them the courage and the backbone to stand up and to be the man and to be the woman that you've created them to be, Father. Some of you, it's business partners who cheat the government. They need to stop being your business partner. Oh, but we'll lose the contract. Absolutely you will. Absolutely. Do the right thing because it's the right thing. God will make it up for you. God will make it up for you. Watch. He'll do it. He'll do it. Probably not tomorrow, but He'll do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, give us the courage. Help us to rise up, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, He loves you. He has a plan for your life. And His word and His guidance can be yours. The Bible says that if you're a child of God, you can be led by the Spirit of God. But if you're not a child of God, if you're not in His family, He's not leading you. You're probably being led by a lot of other factors and a lot of other influences. But today you can be in the family of God. He can be your Father. He can be your provider. He can be the one that will give you wisdom and strength. He offers you forgiveness and a brand new start in life. Jesus said, you must be born again. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you know that you've turned your back on God and the things of God, your life is a mess, and there's rebellion and sin in your life, but you know today is I am coming home. I'm coming home to my Father like the prodigal, and you will find restoration. You'll find a new life waiting for you. If that's you right now and you say, I need to meet Jesus. I need to come home to Him. Wherever you are in this auditorium right now, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand and you say, that's me. I am going to give Jesus my heart. I'm coming to Him today. God bless you, ma'am. Yes. Who else? Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Who else? Say, that's me. I'm going to follow Him. Over here. God bless you. Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't wait. Anyone else before we pray? Before we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you. Could we all stand to our